Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio presents the review of NXT TakeOver Orlando. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is going on, sir?
Getting my bearings back after watching a pretty damn good show and getting ready to talk about it with you here.
That is definitely one thing that could be said. Match quality was pretty good, to say the least, on this card. There wasn't a whole lot that I'm just like, oh, that was terrible. Like, even the opening matchup kind of had the least going for it. Which was Sanity taking on Ruby Riott, Roderick Strong, Ty Dillinger, and not No Way Jose, who was beaten up earlier in the day, but Cassius Ohno. I don't know if he made that team any more smooth. I would dare say he did not.
Not the smoothest team. Fine opener. Everyone did everything that they'd be expected to do.
Yeah.
And Ty Dillinger did the thing he's most expected to do, which is lose.
That was one where
we were both wrong.
I started laughing. Well, yeah, I mean, we only disagreed on the women's championship, so that made you right and me wrong. So we are, in most instances on this show, either both correct or both wrong. And yet, when Dillinger got pinned, I just started laughing to myself. I'm like, you know, in some ways I can see if they want him to, that they want a one-on-one match between him and Eric Young for him to go over. But it's still...
Are we talking a six-month storyline here between Ty Dillinger and Eric Young?
Yeah.
Because it started, like, the end of last year.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, there's no other... Either... Because, like, I guess there's two parts of me here. That one part's saying, okay, they're placating the WWE Universe, and they brought out Ty Dillinger for the Royal Rumble, and they've really kind of kept him in the spotlight since the Rumble on NXT, I guess. I feel like. Again, admittedly, I missed some of this never-ending feud with Eric Young and Ty Dillinger. But, I mean, you don't use that much TV time in a spot in the Royal Rumble on some guy that you think's a jobber, right? I mean, I guess that's the point that I'm getting to. Like, it's so weird. Like, why would you use him that much if you don't really think that much of him?
I think I might have nailed it. You beat him. You give the people that moment in the Royal Rumble so the Nerd Brigade doesn't hijack the show. And then from there, you continue to just beat Ty Dillinger and beat Ty Dillinger until no one cares about him anymore, and people stop chanting 10-10-10 at inopportune times during main roster shows. Because if you release him, you make him a martyr, and they do it, and the crowd does it even more. So make people not care about him. I think that's the goal.
Wow. I mean that's got to be it. Like I just, not that the outcome of that match is all that important in the scope of things.
No, and you know what? I guess you can compare Sanity to the Shield. They should be beating these makeshift teams of singles wrestlers if they are this this destructive unit together. and they should be rising above, you know, in NXT now. Now, granted, I don't know where they rise above to, since the heavyweight champion is also a heel. The tag team champions are heels, so I don't know exactly what you do with Sanity at this point, but I guess they needed to move onward and upward.
Yeah, I always kind of neglect that point where they haven't really established any of those guys. It's like when the Shield kind of took on some of the superstar teams, I guess I felt like maybe the superstar teams could still overcome the deficits of not working together as a team.
Oh yeah.
As well, but like in this instance, the team was so makeshift, it does make a lot of sense that Sanity should be able to overcome that. And I mean, they did for the most part. Like, they didn't really bend the rules that badly to get the win.
No, not at all. No. They really didn't. No, and obviously Sanity's got a pretty big boy on their team, and this is a company that likes to promote pretty big boys. So, yeah, I mean, it was definitely the something of a coming out party for Killian Dane.
Yeah, I will remember the names guy. Now.
Okay, I'll remember. I know, I remember now.
Yeah, so, because he did get one of the more memorable chants, and I'm glad that it still happens, is shave your back. I do think that that's a quality
amusement. That is a quality chant. As long as there's hairy men in this industry, that chant will never die, and it should never die.
One of the few things the crowd did do right on the evening as a whole, but the scope of the match, it really isn't that big of a deal. So, you know, yeah, Dillinger continues to get beat down. Who knows? Roderick Strong can move on to something else, I would hope. Same thing with Cassius Ohno.
Everyone can pretty much move on here. I guess you can keep Ruby Riott and Nikki Cross facing each other.
Oh,
just to have something for them to do. But other than that, yeah, no, there's nothing. People don't care. Aren't going to care anymore now. I mean. No one's going to care about Eric Young versus Ty Dillinger in a one-on-one match now. I mean, at least I won't.
Yeah, I don't really care what ends up happening between those two at all. Like, Dillinger just continues to lose. And I mean, he was the one that took the pinfall, and it's just like, okay. You know? That's it.
Yeah.
So, and what was the next, I'm trying to think of the next, oh, okay, yeah, it was Andrade Cien Almas taking on Aleister Black was the second match of the evening. And, you know, it's always kind of interesting to me when an incoming star does not just have a welcome mat thrown out in front of them.
Yeah, this match was fine, but it was probably too competitive for Aleister Black's first match. It didn't get to show me enough. I'll say that. And there's how many guys on NXT need to have a great striker gimmick? With the big knees, the big forearms, the big boots. The kicks. I'm over it.
There are a lot of them. I hadn't really thought about it, but I mean, the aforementioned Roderick Strong is definitely in that category. And Cassius Ohno too.
Cassius Ohno is.
They're
a
really
lot of the same, very much similar to Aleister Black, although I guess Aleister Black has more of the kind of, you know. I don't know what dark side undertones to his character, whatever his character is supposed to be. Once again, that wasn't as defined as I would hope it would be.
Because I've got to admit, between the name and the gimmick, I supposed he was from England, and when they announced that he was from Holland, I'm like, that's kind of weird. Because, like, I thought I just saw, like, all kind of, like, English churches and things of that nature in his videos. So it's just like, oh, I did not expect this. Not that he can't use that imagery, but it was a little bit of a surprise. It did explain why I thought Alistair was spelled funny, though. I'm going to guess that that is something of a Dutch spelling.
Yeah, I assume so.
So, yeah, sorry, weird tangent part of that. But,
it's all right, it's all right.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I did kind of bring, you know, you kind of ran with the point. Like, it was too competitive of a match to me. Like, and in some ways, just the way that he ended up finishing off Almas... just with two big boots and then his reverse kick, it was like, oh, wasn't he done already?
yeah, there's, the whole great, you know, knockout artist striker gimmick is just, it's becoming passe with me, so I can't say I was that impressed with Alistair. I was actually more impressed with Andrade San Almas, because first time in a while I haven't been able to fast forward to one of his matches, so I think he showed more, but he's a, you know, been around longer in NXT, been wrestling in general longer, I believe, so I mean, I guess he's going to just simply be better.
That really was, I liked, and that was kind of funny. I guess I didn't realize that Oney Lorcan and Almas was the match on the pre-show at NXT Dallas last year. And then that was the one that was on TV recently that I really liked the match. I guess, like I said, I think I said it on the preview that I thought that Black was in good hands as far as wrestling quality, but it is kind of funny. Like, it might have been a little too much quality.
Yeah, I would argue that, yeah. I mean, they used to have Ty Dillinger in for these situations.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, you can't even compare it to, like, John Cena taking on Kurt Angle and just losing. Like, that, you know, you can't have that guy come in with video hype and then lose to Almas, who's been losing pretty much all the time, anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for him to be in that competitive of a match is kind of strange, to say the least. But I'm sure that a few more wins and this can be swept under the rug in some ways.
Yeah. Yeah. It's his first match. I mean, I'm not going to... I'm sure on the next few weeks of NXT television, they're going to be doing... He'll have his squashes so he can really get over his big moves and what he does and his character. So yeah, I'm not gonna complain about it too much.
That was really probably the easiest match to talk about there. Next up, which started the ushering in of all the new title belts on NXT. It, to me, could have been the match of the evening, in my opinion. Well, I guess in my opinion it is. It was the match of the night.
Yeah, you're not going to get an argument from me. It was the match of the night.
And it was the NXT Tag Team Champions, the Authors of Pain, defending against DIY in the Revival. And you had a lot of smart stuff in here, just from how they worked the match with DIY and the Revival teaming a lot of the time against the Authors of Pain to keep them out of the equation, but still having enough personal animosity that it doesn't, that, you know, ultimately the plan fails because of the personal animosities.
Yeah, yeah, I really like the story of the match a lot. They did a lot of creative, you know, triple threat spots involving, you know, all six men, including the spot I've never ever seen before, and I'm not sure if it's a smart thing to do on any kind of regular basis, where the Authors of Pain threw Johnny Gargano into a diving out of the ring, Tommaso Ciampa. Back to head.
That was a move that I'm just like, this just looks like it only has potential to be bad.
Yeah, like I would not expect. I do not ever do that unless it's a takeover or a big show on the main roster. Yeah, don't. That's not a TV move. That's not a house show move. No, never do that.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to be pulling that one out on a regular basis, or at least I hope not. But I would also think that with the outcome of the match as it is, and considering that this is a review, I would not say that these are spoilers per se. Because it's after, guys. It's after. That's why there's the word review in the title. But the Authors of Pain retained, and since they've kind of, they beat DIY for the championships, and they pinned both teams.
They did pin both teams, and the live crowd was not happy. I don't even, what the heck, chanting bullshit at that finish, it's the, I hate these smart ass crowds who come in for WrestleMania. I really do with a passion.
Well, it's just kind of funny how it's, to me, it's swung in the other direction. Like, it was a lot of fun for a while, to me, or at least it kind of seemed to wake a lot of crowds up when people started to hijack the show. Like, I think it reinvigorated some crowds in a lot of ways, but there are times where it becomes a problem. And, yeah, this match, it was definitely something of a problem. Because I feel like there was something else in the match that that got booed, and it's just like, dude, they're doing this perfectly. Like, I don't know what else I can do for you here, because Akam and Razor, they definitely held up their end of the bargain. They did get to have a number of what I would call an edge coffee break throughout the match, but I mean, it was built to have them do that. You know, like, it was the smart planning at DIY and the Revival that kept those two kind of, limited. And it's a smart move. The other four have had fantastic matches against each other.
Yeah. Yeah, and just because you're not getting... What do these morons expect? That the Authors of Pain were going to go out first? Did they really think that? I mean, getting engrossed and lost in the match is one thing, especially during the submission, the double submission spot. That was really well done.
Oh,
but did you do you really think that the author of Prince of Pain were even gonna go out first?
I was gonna be shocked if they went out first. I'm like, oh my god, are they actually gonna eliminate them first?
Yeah, I mean, once again, you're that's getting engrossed in the match, but then once DIY is eliminated to start chanting, "This is bullshit." What the fuck are you people even doing?
Yeah.
Have you ever watched this? Oh god, I am not looking forward to Monday and Tuesday. At least in the stadium, you know, they don't become much of an issue.
yeah. So it was the outcome that was needed. I mean, both teams did a great job. Both DIY and the Revival did an outstanding job of getting over the Authors of Pain. You know, they did their job. Like, you couldn't ask for anything more.
No, you can. You absolutely cannot. I mean, DIY and the Revival did an incredible job in this match. They knew what the job was. They did it incredibly. I mean, I just don't know how you could be unhappy. I mean, in a non-playing along fashion, booing the finish because the heels won. I don't understand how you could be upset, like legitimately upset with that finish.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, I guess, and that is where, when you say bullshit, that kind of makes it feel authentic. Instead of, if you boo, in my opinion, that you could understand is you don't approve, but you understand why it's happening, at least.
Yeah, or
you have a little more cover
in the show, as opposed to critiquing the booking. because there are 15,000 bookers in the fucking audience. Oh, I'm just dropping the F-bomb left and right here. these crowds just piss me off. These douchebags who come over and I'm gonna say something. I gotta stop.
Well, and we can just to kind of. And I mean, I guess I don't know how else to say it, though, too. Like, I just really, really enjoyed this match. Like I said,
I loved this match.
It was my favorite of the night, despite, you know, the crowd reaction. Yeah, like we've already been saying, they kind of laid it out perfectly. It was executed perfectly. You know, both of the other two teams really have a chance of getting out of NXT within the recent future.
Oh yeah, I mean, I could see the Revival up as soon as this week. Gargano and Ciampa, I see sticking around. Once again, I don't know if Gargano and Ciampa's long-term future is as a tag team, particularly on the main roster.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. I mean, they are definitely... the one thing about the Revival, and I don't know if we mentioned this, they're... Not that they're gigantic guys, but they're definitely bigger than Ciampa and Gargano.
Yeah, they're bigger than Ciampa and Gargano, yes.
So I think that on the main roster, they can hang a little bit better in the size department. Not that they couldn't use that, and obviously do already use that in NXT, to Gargano and... Ciampa's advantage to always give them underdog status. That is an appearance from Kia. She is voicing her disapproval at the crowd that is outside the window.
Yeah. Tell those British and Irish to go away. All right, that's the closest I'll come to an ethnic slur on this show.
Oh, man.
But on the Raw SmackDown show, I make no promises.
So, anyway, though, but we'll see what happens. I mean,
yeah.
No matter what way they go with whom, any of the teams, I'll be fine with it. If the Revival stays down longer, they will make an entertaining feud with the Authors of Pain, I would imagine. So, you know, I'm okay with whatever happens. And, I guess we can just go ahead and move on along to the next match, which... And this was the other thing, like, I guess when we were doing the preview, I didn't quite realize how short the show was in terms of the number of matches, really.
They still stretched it out to 2.5 hours, though.
Yeah.
Five matches in 2.5 hours. I mean, we've got about, as of right now, 11 matches scheduled in a 4 to 5 hour window, so that'll be interesting tomorrow.
They are definitely not going to get the same amount of time that the performers in NXT did.
No. The bottom three or four matches will not be getting basically any time. and some of the top matches. We're not expected to go very long. Next match, yes.
So this was the lone match that we disagreed on. You came out on the victorious end of the predictions. And Asuka would and you kind of called this part too, pulled out something more of a heelish maneuver to win the matchup, though it was not really overtly heely.
Yeah, they left some ambiguity, but of course she did it on purpose. I guess you can drag it out over the course of time of her denying it.
Right.
As she goes more and more heelish and more arrogant. This is something definitely. This is a really good match. They both did really good. Ember Moon really. This was Ember Moon's coming out party, even in a loss. They definitely have. They had a really good match, but not necessarily a great / outstanding match. They left enough for build to a rematch, which is definitely going to happen. No idea when the next takeover is because there isn't a major WWE pay-per-view now until August. So I'm assume they're going to sneak in a takeover before SummerSlam weekend.
Gotcha.
They told a good story. Asuka was vicious and heelish and cocky and all that good stuff. Ember Moon fought valiantly. She busted out some new stuff herself. Everything else was really good. Told a good story.
I got no complaints. And I think you hit the nail on the head there with the one description that it was Ember Moon's coming out party. Like, I think that she did well in her matches, but I mean, I mostly just saw squash matches out of her. Because even when she was fighting Billie Kay or Peyton Royce, she kind of cleaned house pretty quickly. So this was her first chance to kind of prove it more in a longer match. And I think she really stepped up. I think that that was maybe the one thing that I should have considered when picking the winner. Like, she still seems to need a little bit more polish to really be the whole package. You know, like, all the tools are there, but she just needs to be a little more smooth, I feel like, about everything. You know, I don't know if it just doesn't feel like it comes naturally to her, or what the problem is, because there's no, like, glaring problem, in my opinion.
Right, no. There's not really a gaping hole in her game. She just needed to, you know, solidify it and you know, put all the pieces together, and I think tonight she took a huge step towards doing that. She's definitely, you know, she's the future of this division. Yeah, she and they in this match, you know, she was, you know, knocked off the ropes, you know, going for her finisher, so she never hit it.
Right.
Because Ember Moon's the Eclipse should never be kicked out of. Never. A top rope stunner. That should never be kicked out of.
I get a feeling that it's going to get kicked out of at some point.
And it'll be bad.
I agree with you. Like, I may have my Stone Cold Steve Austin mountain to die on now. Which is if someone kicks out of the Eclipse that I riot.
That was good. So she never hit the move. You know, that's once again.
And everyone
story for the rematch. She needs to hit it.
Yeah, and everyone talked about how she kind of needed to hit it, or it was the great equalizer in this matchup. You know,
right.
So yeah, it didn't get hit. The move that was heelish on Asuka's part is what, you know, made sure that move didn't happen. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure that they'll get some type of gimmicky match the next time around to help you know, change things up a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I look forward to another match. Like it'll be another good match, I would imagine.
I look forward to it a lot. I think that, you know, today's match was really, really good, but I think they've got more to show. I think that they can have an absolutely great match on the level of the Four Horsewomen when that opportunity arises. So yeah, definitely looking forward to it.
And, yeah, I mean, last up of the night was, of course, the NXT champion Bobby Roode defending against Shinsuke Nakamura.
This match was good. This match was really good, but you know what? This match, I think, may have proven that WWE's theory about throwing in buffer matches between the big, long, epic matches on a major pay-per-view might actually be the right theory, because after the two matches before it, I wasn't ready for this. I wasn't up for this match. I kind of zoned out during the course of it a couple of times.
I didn't zone out at all, but it would have been nice to have something in between.
Yeah,
for sure. Because it was three phenomenal matches back to back to back. And, I mean, it really didn't help, too. Like, there was just lag even for the Ember Moon Asuka match from how good the tag team match was. And it just was even worse by the time the championship match came on. Because, I mean, like we said, five matches got 2.5 hours. You know, I'm not sure how long each match lasted, but no one was given a short match.
No one was given a short match at all.
because even that opening match was like something in the 15-minute range.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like there was one. Well, I would imagine that the tag team elimination match took up the most time.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
But it still couldn't have been way more than some of these other ones. But yeah, I mean, it was tough watching. It was a good match, and they, again, like, they stick to the stories very well on NXT. You know, there was the story of whether Nakamura's knee was still okay. What kind of face NXT would have going forward. So, I mean, and they stuck to the story well, because Rude worked over the leg quite a bit with Nakamura, you know, coming back with your favorite, his strikes.
I'm okay when Nakamura does it, because he's one of the originators. I just don't need a fifth guy coming in with the same damn gimmick or the same damn arsenal.
Oh yeah, I mean, that's the way they kind of worked the match. I mean, Rude had a good figure four in, and you know, they had some nice spots working off of that with Nakamura trying to go for an armbar, and he got it once, I think. But Rude got to the ropes fairly quickly. So they played off of working off the knee really well. Like, yeah, it's almost one of those matches that maybe I feel like already, as we're talking about it, that I need to go back and rewatch just to get a little better gauge on the quality of it. Because it was a little tough, like, that's a lot of good wrestling in a short time period, because you know that something like during WrestleMania tomorrow, there's going to be, we talked about it, like the Hall of Fame inductees moment. There's going to be Flo Rida and the whole crew of singers being thrown out there at some juncture. Like, it gives you a moment to breathe, and this show just did not have anything like that. Because even the video packages that they did before the matches are fairly compact.
Yeah, no, they're very compact.
5 to 10 minutes at most. So, you know, it's a lot to take in, and I mean, we both thought that Rude would win the match. He ended up winning the match. I would have to say that with that definitive of a win, in my opinion, you know, with this super, super glorious DDT, that Nakamura would be moving along. Like, because you can't really have him take on Rude again at this point.
No. This was the end of that. This certainly the it may, maybe hopefully the end of Shinsuke Nakamura in NXT. You know, we'll see what happens the Monday or Tuesday. Rooting for him to make his way up. Otherwise, what's he gonna do? Stay in NXT and feud with Sanity, feud with Eric Young. Yay.
Yeah, he doesn't really have much to do if he sticks around there.
Yeah, no. There's no need to have him stick around at this point. It's for Bobby Roode, I guess. They could keep something going with Cassius Ohno if they're high on him. They could, you know, start pushing Roderick Strong, and you know, there's certainly talent there. I mean, it's NXT's going to be going through yet another rebuilding phase, certainly.
Oh, yeah.
in a post Nakamura era.
Yeah, but I think Bobby Roode is more than capable of holding the fort down. So I'm not really too concerned, because even if they don't have any good babyface challengers, I mean, because I wouldn't think that Ono would end up getting the title. I don't think. But you have Roode feud a couple of guys you know he's going to beat, and then I would imagine that eventually they'll have some baby face good enough to knock him off the plateau.
Yeah.
Even if he's not completely there now. So, yeah, I mean, again, and I think we said it really to start the show, it was a great NXT TakeOver. It was a really good show. Like, when the biggest thing you can complain about is fatigue from great wrestling, a great wrestling match, then a great wrestling match, and then a third great wrestling match. Like,
yeah,
there are definitely worse problems to bitch about.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this is a big thumbs up show. Great show. Highly recommended if you haven't seen it. Great wrestling from top to bottom. In many ways, kind of like it. You know, WrestleMania weekend, but like the antithesis of WrestleMania, you know, 2.5 hours, compact, match, no bullshit at all. Yeah, if that's what you're into, then this show is for you.
Yeah, and after I was amused that the Columbus Crew today played the Orlando Football Club in soccer, so I am drinking Landgrant's Columbus Crew beer, which is called Glory, and it's an American wheat ale. So I did have to laugh that I involved myself in Orlando even more today through a soccer match. But yeah, that's my way of wrapping things up. Bell time beer for today. Although I had a couple other tasty beverages earlier in the evening. So I'm at DeFrango11. He's at Chris Calamita. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Oh, and listen to Shahid and Jeremy are doing a review of this too. So you know what? Give both shows a listen. I will listen to their show probably Monday at work just to see that they agreed with us.
I'm sure they did. They're smart men. There's no way they could possibly disagree with us.
Well, grandkids, have a good night, and yeah, night.